This sugya is mostly in the septic suvas, but I'm going to give a little introduction based on a few lines here in Nida, just by way of introduction, and then you'll see the first source in your page is Ksuvas. That's what we want to really focus on. The Gemara in Nida on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph has a Braisa. Tana Rabbanan, Chamorim, these are people whose occupation is to drive donkeys, and they carry, you know, merchandise from place to place. Upalim and various other workers. Vaboyim beis ha'evel beis ha'mishta. So it means that people went out on a trip. Now they return home, and the Braisa here quoted on Yud Beis says that nishayim lahem becheskes tar. They're allowed to assume that they're respectively the wife is in the state of tara.
You're reading in
Ksuvas? Yeah, no, I'm just giving a little introduction from the sector. Neither just to, you know, at the last minute I realized that maybe we should just put things into perspective, so I'm giving you...
The Mishnah said the same thing, basically.
Yeah.
Cheskes Tahara.
Cheskes Tahara,
but they explain exactly on both circumstances.
The Braisa goes into all these details. The Braisa says, "Bamedvar amurim she'nichon b'cheskes Tahara." They were b'cheskes Tahara when he left the town. Amalinicham becheskas tuma laolam hi tmeya ad shetomer lo tahora ani. So the reason I quote this brisa to you is this is the, as far as I know, the most explicit place in Shas where the Gemara establishes that a woman could say to her husband, even though she had a cheskas tuma before, tahora ani, and she's believed. And this is going to introduce a principle which is a Shas principle called Eid Echad Nemin Bisurim. And then the question is going to arise, how far is the scope of Eid Echad Nemin Bisurim? Is it a complete Nemonis? Is it against even against the Chazaka? You know, you have a contradiction between a Chazaka and an Eid. Does the Eid have the power to undermine and contradict the Chazaka? This would seem to be a case where the answer is yes, she's believed to say Tahorani, even though he left the Becheskas Tmeya, and we're going to have to figure out, is that an exception to the rule, and it's only in the Parsha of the Sofrala that she's believed, or is this a universal rule as far as Eid Echad Nemin Bisurim, and even against the Becheskas Chazaka. Now, what we're going to see in Masechta Ksuvas, which is really our meat and potatoes for today and probably for a week or so, is the following question. There's something called an amasla. Amasla. What's an amasla? An amasla is where someone made a statement, a declaration, it has tremendous repercussions in halacha. It's a kind of an edus, that statement. Again, I'm just using that term loosely. It's not really Eidus, because, for example, Eid Echad Nemin Bisurim is not Eidus per se. You need two Eidim, but it's one Eid. And then the person wants to deny the conclusion of what they said. They're not denying that they said it. You know, we have clear-cut evidence that the declaration was made. You know, she definitely said Tmeani. You know, she made that claim. But now she wants to explain it away. What do I mean by explain it away? To try to convince us that she never really meant it. She wasn't serious about it. That's called an amasla. The classical case of an amasla is here in Masechta Ksuvas, in a case of a woman who says, Niskadashti, I received Kiddushin, and that would make her into an Eishes Ish, based on her own admission. And then she turns around and she says, I only said it for the following reason. I only meant it because I didn't want too many people to bother me. You know, Baruch Hashem, she was in demand. You know, there were Harbe Kovtzim all there. Everybody wanted to propose marriage to her. She was just fed up with it. And therefore she said this Kadashti, but she never really meant it seriously. And we'll soon see that the Gemara says that in such a case she's believed. Now,
she's believed that
she didn't mean it really seriously. Again, nobody's denying, and she's not denying that she said it, but she's explaining it away. I mean, that's just the phrase I'm using to explain amasla. Now here we have to keep in mind one fundamental distinction. there's something called a pesha asar, a pesha hita, meaning if she would say, for example, tmeani, and then say tahorani immediately afterwards, that's called toch kidei dibur, and then she's believed with what's called a pesha asar, a pesha hita. Or, for example, a woman says niskadashti, and she immediately would say, well, I received a get. That would be toch kidei dibur. Normally, if a woman is established as an eishes ish, then we need two eidim to testify that she received a get, to be matan to everyone but kohanim, and that's called ein dover shebeir v'pachos mishnayim. But the exception to the rule of ein dover shebeir, where we can establish a woman as if she were, as if she had the get in front of us, and we don't have the get, nor do we have eidim, is called a pesha osa pesha hita. That sugya is not relevant to us today, because again, that sugya is predicated on what we call toch kidei dibur. We're not talking about toch kidei dibur today. Today we're talking about a case where a woman says tmei ani, and then she comes back a week later, or a month later, or a day later, and she says, I only meant it for the following reason. And she gives us what's called an amasla. So she doesn't have a pesha asar pesha hitir. If she did, that would be the more simple case. But can she be believed with an amasla to explain away what she meant and what she said, but it's not to be taken seriously?
Pesha asar is only toch kidei dibur.
Right now, we're going to assume that Pesha Asu Toch Kidei Dibur. Let's just work with that premise, just so that we don't complicate matters. Okay. Now, we're putting away the Masechta Nida right now. I'm going to put it on the side, because that's really all we need for Masechta Nida in this case. But as I told you at the outset, our limud, what I call Sugyas B'Masechta Nida, can sometimes take us through other masechtas in Shas, and this is a perfect example. So what do we have here in Ksuvis? And that's the first source on your page. And you'll see this on Daf Chav Beis. Okay, so let me just open up to Daf Chav Beis. Okay. So first let me just read to you the Mishnah, which again is not on your page because it's not relevant, but I just want to give you the broader picture. Isha Shomra Isha Sisha Isi Ugrushani Nemenes Shapesa Osa Upesha Hiti Vim Yesh Eidim Shahisa Ish. If we have independent objective evidence to establish that she's an Ashes Ish, to remove her from Hacheskas Heter, Hacheskas Pnuya, that's through two Eidim, that's again a Dovah Sheberva, then she's not believed. A Pesha Asa Pesha Hitir is not as powerful as two Eidim. She's going to have to invite two Eidim to testify that she received a get, or bring the get. In the absence of that testimony, she can only rely on Pesha Asa Pesha Hitir, but that's only, as we said, Toch Kidei Dibur. Fine. That's so far. The Gemara goes on to say something very interesting. Minayin la pesha asa shua pesha hitir. And here the Gemara goes into another point. How do we know that a father is believed to say, to testify, that his daughter received kedushin and she's an eishes ish? Again, we would apply the principle of ein dover shebeirva pachas mishnayim. He cannot change her cheskes heter into a cheskes eishes ish without two eidim. So the Gemara says, no, a father is believed, the Torah believes a father to testify that his daughter is an eishes ish. And why? Shenemar es biti nasati leish hazeh. He's believed to say that he gave her daughter, we're talking about a nara ketana, over to kedusha to some person, and the Torah says he's believed. So we have a special, unique nemanus that replaces that of two eidim, and that's the nemanus of the father to testify about his own daughter that she's an eishes ish. Fine. Then the Gemara goes on and on. That's not for us now. Oh. Then the Gemara quotes a braisa, and the braisa says, "Torah Rabbanan, Isha Shomer Eishes Ish Ani Vechazra V'Amra." This is not Toch Kidei Dibur. Pnuyani. Now watch this. She said that she was an Eishes Ish. So we have her on record. You know, it's recorded. And now she says, no, Pnuya, I'm a Pnuya. I never was married. They're menace. And she's believed. How is she believed? So the Gemara is not operating with Peshas and Peshita anymore. But the Gemara says, Amar Rava Barav Huna Kigon Shenosna Amasla Ludvarel. She gives us an Amasla. She explains it why, explains away why she said that she was an Eishes Ish. And the Gemara gives a Braisa, Maisa Nami Bish Achas, Shaisa Gidola Benoi Vekovzol Evnei Adam, very good looking woman. That's what the Gemara says. I didn't write the text. And Amar Lehem Mekudesha Sani. She made a kind of public declaration that she's already married. Li Yomim. Again, there's no Peshas or Peshita. Yomim passed by. Amda Vekidshas Atzma. She received Kedusha from someone else. Amar Lo Chachomim Ma Royis Lassos Ken. How can you possibly, you yourself admitted and declared publicly that you're an Eishes Ish? He says, so she says, Amar Lehem B'tchilok Shebo Alay Anoshim Sheinam Uganim Amarati Mekudeshas Ani. Achshav Balai Ish Mahugan, somebody that I want to marry, he's a good guy, checks out, you know, now they have resumes and so forth. His resume checks out. Is Omarati Vikidashti es Atzmi. And therefore, she's believed with a Peshas.
With an Amasa.
With an Amasa, I'm sorry. Boiminei Shmuel Miraf. Now this is the beginning of Asugi. I just wanted to give you the background, because a lot of what we fleshed out now is going to come up later, not today, but later on in the Sugi. Boiminei Shmuel Miraf. Amra Tmeani V'chazra V'amra Tahorani Mahu. Tosis interprets that Shmuel wonders whether a masla is effective even in the case of a woman who declared tmeani. And now she gives an amasla. The Rishonim are going to work overtime. What was the nature of her masla? Has she explained away the fact that she said tmeani? So they say various answers. Let's take the classical answer. She was weak that day. She was feeling sick. She wanted to get him off her back, and she said to him, Tmeani. That's the way she pushed him off. Now she says, Torani. But she just admitted Tmeani, so what do we do? So basically, Shmuel wants to know if the halach of Amasa applies in this case. For some reason, Shmuel thinks that if a woman says, Niskadashti, she's believed later on with an amasla, with this whole Maisa Shahoya that she was Gedol Benoi and the Kofzolei Anashim Shedem Ugadim, and she's believed. But Shmuel is not sure that in case of Tmeani, and now she wants to give an amasla, that she can be believed. You'll see soon that Rav says there's no difference between the two. It's almost the Kal V'chomer. If a woman is believed with an amasla to remove her Cheskes Eishes Ish, you know, you're talking about an Issa that's even more chomer than a Nida. I mean, that's not a secondary Issa, but Eishes Ish, if she believed in Amasla, then Rav is L'chora absolutely right to assume, by analogy, that she's believed in Amasla when she says Tmeani. If she's an Eishes Ish by her own admission, and she can be believed to undermine that original declaration with Amasla, she should be believed to undermine the statement that what? Tmeani. And that's going to be Rav's statement in just a second. But in the meantime, we have Boy Minei Shmuel Mirav. Why is Shmuel confused about this? Meaning, there's some reason, we'll call it X, it's like an unknown reason, that in the case of Niskadashti, Shmuel believes her Amasla is acceptable. But in the case of Tmeani, her Amasla might not be acceptable. And Shmuel vacillated on this point, and he brought it up in front of Rav. So one of the issues that the Mefarshim are going to deal with is going to be, why did Shmuel have this suffix that less than Amasla is not reliable, is not effective in the case of Tmeani, where it is effective in the case of Eishes Ish, when she says, Niskadashti. That's going to be an issue that we have to get to, And you know, if Kapustin was here, what's his name? If Sammy was here, I don't know. He's, I think he's still in Chutz Laaretz. I would tell him to write this down because, you know, he takes very good notes. Mm-hmm. He's my official stenographer. Mm-hmm. So Rav responded to Shmuel, Af Bazu, even in this case, like the previous case of Miskadashti, Im Nosna Masla Li Dvareha. Here we turn to Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis. Okay, if you don't have the Gemara, it's not relevant to you, but Nemenes, she's believed. So she can give it a Masla. And Rashi says, just like she can give it a masla in the case of Mekudeshes Ani, and say that she only said it for reason X, Y, and Z. So she can give it a masla to say, well, that's why I said Tmei Ani. And she's believed with an amasla. Rashi, unfortunately, doesn't give us any insight as to why Shmuel had a doubt about this. Okay, fine.
Even the fact he says, af. The Rav says, after.
Yeah, even Rav is admitting that Shmuel's logic is correct, that there is some, you know, there's some reason that maybe we shouldn't believe her. Fine. That's point number one. Now, the Gemara goes on to tell us a very interesting story here. Now, if Shmuel asked this question to Rav, what's the implication? Whenever someone asks a question to someone else in halacha, then what's the implication?
It's wrong.
That they can accept the answer that they get, right? Shmuel's a good boy. He's asking Rav a question. Halacha kerav b'isurim. You know, Rav is the kingpin when it comes to isurim. And Shmuel kowtows to Rav, and Rav tells him that she's believed with an amasla. And yet the Gemara records the following story. I would be a little embarrassed about this, but the Gemara is not embarrassed. Tanaminei arboim zibna vafilu hachilo ovid Shmuel uvda benafshe. Benafshe means that Shmuel actually had this issue that came up in his own private life. And even though he reviewed this Shmua that he heard from Rav, that Amasla is reliable 40 times, lo ovid Shmuel uvda benafshe. Apparently Shmuel still had doubts about it. You know, so it's not just the original vacillation of Shmuel, but even halacha lemaisa in his life, he would not rely on this psak lo ovid uvda benafshe. Okay. Now what we have so far, and this is the sugya here on Daf Chaf Beis, is a case where she says tmei ani, and then she gives an amasla. What I'm pointing out here is that there's another possible scenario, which we'll soon see. It's a Gemara in Ksubis. You have the Ran on Ksubis, but that's a Gemara on Daf Ayin Beis. There the Gemara says that between time T1 and time T2, something happened in the middle. Between the time that she said Tmei Ani and the time that she gave the Amasla, something happened. What happened? That's called in the Lashon HaShas, I'll read it to you inside in just a second, Huchzaka Nida B'Shechenusel. In other words, back in the days, we don't have it today, a woman would wear certain garments, that's called Big Day Nidus, and if the Shechenim became aware of that, they knew that she was a Nida. Now, again, there are many questions we could ask about that minhag, why it was so, and it seems very strange to our ears, but let's just accept it for now as axiomatic. So I'm going to turn now to Daf Ayin Beis. I'm going to leave here Daf Chav Beis for a moment. And the Gemara on Daf Chav Beis is going to be the subject of the Ran, which you have on your page. And the Mishnah says on Daf Ayin Beis, that's my favorite Daf Ayin Beis, Azaria Berzon, right? The Elu Yotze Shalom B'Ksuba, these are the following women who, if they violate a certain Issa, a very severe Issa, they have to get divorced. They don't even have rights to the Ksuba. And one of them is called Overes Aldas Moshe Yehudis. And the Mishnah goes on to say, what is this Overes Aldas Moshe Yehudis? The Gemara says two cases. Number one, machiloso she'ena me'usar. She feeds her husband tevel, which is an isur, misa b'dei shamayim, very severe isur. U'meshamashto nida. And she has a relationship with her, again, deliberately, obviously, when she's in need. Now the Gemara goes on to ask on this Mishnah, Hechi Dami, what is the case of Mishamashto Nida? Idi Yodaba, if he knew that she was a Nida, is Nifrosh. He should have been Poresh. If he had independent reason to believe that she's a Nida, then what's he doing having Tashmish with his wife? Hello, what? Delo yada. Nuvitz delo yada. Nismo chiluya. Then he should rely on her. Right? The Gemara is going to quote the pasuk of Sofra law. And if she's telling him, Tahorani, why do you tell me that she was Mashamashto Nida? And the Gemara is going to give two cases, one of which I want to leave out for now, because it's very complicated. But I'm going to take the second case, which is relevant to us. Ibai is Ema. What's the case of Overas Aldas Yehudis Mishamashto Nida? Huchzaka Nida Bishchenuseha. There's a chazaka here based on the fact that she wore big day Nidus. Rashi says, Shra'u aloveshes big day Nidus. Ulabala Omer, but she faked out her husband and she told him, Tahorani Vishimsha. So of course he relied on her when she said Tahorani, but she's Huchzaka Nida Bishchenuseha. And then the Gemara quotes from Yehuda to go even one step further. If, let's say, the Baal was aware of the fact that Huchzaka Nida B'Shechenu Seha, not the case that we had before where she fools him and she tells him sells him a bill of goods here, malarkey, and she says to him, Tahorani, but he knew that she was Huchzaka Nida B'Shechenu Seha, Bailo Loka Aleha Mishum Nida. And the pashtus of the sugya is that this chazaka is enough to establish certainty that she's a nida, and therefore two conclusions. Number one, she's not believed with an amasla. Let's see if we can get to that today. I mean, that's going to be one conclusion that we have to flesh out. But what's explicit in the Gemara is that the Baal, if he knows about the huchzaka nida b'shchuseha, then he'll get malchus based on that chazok. Okay. Now, there seems to be a problem here. What's the problem? And this is what the Ran is going to address. Based on the sugya on Daf Chof Beis that we began with, we arrive at the conclusion, as Rav responded to Shmuel, that if a woman says Tmeani, she's believed to give it a masla. Oh, I only said it for this reason, I didn't mean it, I wasn't serious about it, and she's believed. Let's assume, for argument's sake, I already spilled the beans that this conclusion is not correct, but let's assume that the same halach should apply here on Daf Ayin Beis in the case of Huchzaka Nida B'Shechenu Seha. Again, your brain should already be working to slug me up. But before you slug me up, you know, play the game with me together. I want you to be, you know, on the same radar screen as I am. What's the difference between Huchzaka Nida B'Shechenu Seha, where we have, let's call it evidence or circumstances indicate that she's a Nida, and which is on Daf Ayin Beis, in the case on Daf Chaf Beis, by 50 blot earlier, where she says Tmeani. In both cases, we have evidence that she's Tmea. Now she comes along and she gives an Amasla. We know for a fact, based on the Gemara on Daf Chaf Gimel for a Beis Amid Beis, that Rav concludes that she's believed after declaring Tmeani to give an Amasla, now she's believed to say Torani. Would it be so that in the case on Daf Ayin Beis as well, Huchzaka Nida B'Shechenu Seha, it's like she made a public declaration, I'm a Nida, that now she should be believed with an Amasla? I only did it for reasons X, Y, and Z. My husband was on my back. I had to get him off my back. So I wore the big day nidus to demonstrate that I'm a nida. That was her way of communicating Tmeani. But now, she should be believed with an amasla. Can't be. Just mathematically, it cannot be that she would be believed with an amasla. How do I know this? So I'm going to give you a hint. There's a Gemara in Masechta Shavuos called Hasra Safek Lav Shmei Hasra, which means that in order to give someone Malkus for violating a law, you have to give him Asra. But not every Asra is valid. In order to be valid, it has to be Asra's Vadai, which means that if you violate this Asra, there's no question about it. It's 100% signed and sealed that you will get Malkus. But if, for example, a person says, you know, I take a shvua that I'll, you know, I won't eat this kikar during the day, or so. Excuse me, I'll eat this kikar during the course of the day. That's called asar sof, because even we tell him you better eat the kikar or you'll violate your shvua. He can eat the kikar an hour from now. He can eat the kikar any time before shkia. That's called asar sof. Whenever there's a doubt, meaning on the one hand he can violate the asra, do the opposite, and yet he could be exonerated from the violation of the law. In such a case, Asra is completely invalid. Even if at the end of the day he violated the law, it doesn't matter. There's a technical foul here. There was no Hasra, because Asra has to be Asra's Vada. Now I want you to tell me why in the Gemara in Midah Ayin Beis I must conclude that she's not going to be believed with an Amasla. I don't know why she's not believed with an Amasla. L'chor, it's the same as Daf Chav Beis, where she's believed in an Amasla. But it can't be. Why can't it be? I thought I was feeding you all the information that you needed, but you still...
It's Malkus.
Exactly. The Gemara says that in this case, he's going to get Malkus. Bailo loka lo mishum nida. How can we give Malkus? Every Malkus requires what? Asra, and every Asra has to be Asra's Vada. Here it's Asra Safek. Why? Because after we beat the living daylights out of him with 39 lashes, she's going to give an Amasla. Unless you assume that after a year or 2 years or 3 years, you know that, but what's it called in law? You know, the law of, there's a law of
statute of limitations,
and she's no longer believed with an Amasla. But the Ran is not going to assume that there's any sort of statute of limitations here, and therefore the Ran is going to ask the following question. I mean, again, I'm just feeding you the Ran because it's such a beautiful logical progression in this kasha. That how could the Gemara say on Daf Ayin Beis that once she's Huchzik on Nidah B'Shchein Usel, which means that she herself, Pravit Nevila, you know, Nidah, she acted as a Nidah publicly, that the Baal now will get Malkus if he has relations with her. Again, she fooled him, and she said to Horani, he didn't know that she was Tmei, and therefore it's Over Saldas Yehudis, and therefore, you know, Yotzaba below Ksuba, and so forth and so on. But in a case where, the Gemara says explicitly, a case where he knew that she was wearing Big Day Nidus, then he gets Malkus for that. So the Rabbi is going to ask, how can you give Malkus to Tzatzra Sofik? Because after all, the Gemara establishes on Daf Chav Beis that she's believed to say Tahorani and give a Masla. Why she was saying Tmeani? No, if she can give it a Masla, then you can never give a Malkus. Thus, these two premises cannot be accepted simultaneously. They are mutually exclusive. You cannot say on the one hand that she is believed with an Amasla, and on the other hand, give this guy Malkus. Because if she's believed with an Amasla, says the Ran, it always renders the Hasra to Hasra suffering. And based on this Kasha, the Ran concludes that in the Sugya of Huchzikah Nidah B'Shchein Usel, she's not believed with an Amasla. And in order to prove that he's right, the Ran quotes the Rashba. Now you have to understand, the Rashba is a good deal before the Ran. And in Hilchas Nidah, the Rashba, who authored a book called Torah Sabayis, is like, you know, holy of holies, kunche. You know, you can't argue with the Rashba. So the Ran quotes the Torah Sabayis of the Rashba, and the Torah Sabayis of the Rashba says that in the case where she says Tveani, she's believed with an Amasla to say Torani, but in the case of Huchzikah Nidah B'Shchein Usel, she's not believed with an Amasla. And why not? So let's look at the Ran inside. This is the second major source on your page. He says, Lo Ovid Uvda Benafshe, Shmuel, even though he heard the Psak of Rav, was nevertheless very inhibited, very hesitant, and he did not rely on it. Pamachas Omelo Ishto Kain, she said to him, Atmeani, Venosla Maslu Dvareu, Piresh Mimena Achetovla. Shmuel insisted that she go to the mikvah. He would not go near her until she went to the mikvah. And this is all based on Yerushalmi. Fine. Okay. Now, if you skip down four lines, it says afilu achi mashma, even though Shmuel was very inhibited, however kaimalon kirav, it seems from the sugya that we passing like Ra. Again, the fact that Shmuel
is
machmer, that's machmer al atzmo, but that does nothing to do with you and I. We don't have to be machmer on ourselves. We can rely on the Ikra Din, which is like Ra. We paskin like Ra. Delo chayishle. And Rav is not nervous about it. Rav himself says, Ahbazu, nemenis bi'a maslo. Oh, says the Ran, that's good if she says, Tmeani, and then she gives an amaslo. Miu, however, you should know that im huchsaka nida b'shchenu seha, the amina b'sof kedusha debaila loka le mishum nida. Again, this sugya that I showed you from Ksubis, I only showed it to you from Ksubis because I didn't have to bring another mesechta, meaning another gemara of kedusha, but it appears in both places. Is afilu nosna amasla lova lola vashti bigde nidus elvit ne kach v'kach. You know, whatever flimsy excuse she gives why she was wearing big day nidus. For example, she wanted to get her husband, you know, maybe she didn't have the guts to say it to his face, I don't know, but she gave it a masla. Ein anemes. She's not believed. How do we know this? The keva de baila loke, for the fact that the baal gets malchus, alma kenida mashminin la. We consider her to be a nida. V'chein kosava rashbazal. This is the Rashba in Torah Sabayis. Okay, Rav Osa, let's just take a pause and just review what we know. According to the Rav, based on the Rashba, there's a distinction between two cases. One case is Daf Chav Beis, she says Tmeani, and the other case is Daf Ayin Beis, where she says, where she was Hufsukon Nida B'Shchenu Seor. In the first case, where she said Tmeani, she's believed with an Amasla, and that's Rav. In the second case of Huxakot Nida B'Shchenu Seor, she's not believed with an Amasla, and the proof in the pudding is the fact that the Baal gets Malchus. That's what we have so far. Now we get to the unhappy players, and that's the tour, and many after the tour. So I underlined, I don't know if you have, it depends which photocopy you have, but I tried to underline the most important part of the tour, which you'll see on line 4. Kosav Ramban. Wow, this is interesting. It's no longer the Rashba, it's now the Ramban. We're going back another generation in time. Huxaka nida v'shchenu sevi achachom omeres tahorani afilu nosna maslu dvarel shomeres olavashti begodim elu ela shalo titardini tatrideni. Okay, I know that, Doc, I have to be careful about the grammar here, so I'm trying my best here. All right. Kilo isi bria, I wasn't feeling well. Ain on emenis adka. So the Ramban is, which we saw already in the Ran, quoting the Rashba, but now we go back to the Ramban, is saying that there's a difference between tahora tmeani and tahorani with an amasla, and husukah nida b'shchenu seor and amasla, she's not believed. Ratzal lomar. Now the tour is embellishing the Ramban, but he's not going to be very happy about this Ramban. Kevin shara inua loveshes big day nidu seha havi keilu ra'inu sharasa. I think the word ra'inu here is a strange word, but it really means yadanu sharasa, meaning if she walks around with these big day nidus in a public place, then it's as if we saw the dam, so to speak. We know that she's a nida. In other words, in every case, says the tour, we always have a certain element of doubt when she claims that she's a nida. Maybe she'll give us an amasla, but if we saw the dam, again, he's using that as a kind of dramatic expression, if we saw the dam, which means we're absolutely certain that she's a nida, then there's no room for amasla. Amasla can only help us if there's some element of doubt. Is therefore, oz eino nemenes lomar lo ra'isi. Okay, so far the tour has been very loyal to the Ramban in presenting the Ramban's shita. V'teima, I don't get it. I don't get the punchline, says the tour. V'chi adif huchzaka nida b'shchenu seor mikshe omeres b'feirush tmeani. The tour asks the following question. Compare the two cases. The case number one, on Daf Chav Beis, which she claims, she declares openly, Tmeani, case number two on Daf Ayin Beis, where there's circumstantial evidence that indicates that she's Tmea. Says the tour, in comparing the two, which is more weighty, which takes us further down the line to our conclusion that she's definitely a Nida, when she says it explicitly beferish, or when there's kind of evidence around it? You know, why was she wearing these begadim? And what's the Torah's answer? When she says it explicitly. Therefore, says the Torah, there's a kal v'chomer here. If she's believed on Daf Chav Beis, Tmei Amini, to turn around and say Torah Ani within a masla, and there she had an explicit testimony that she's Tmei, then how much more so in the case on Ayin Beis of Huxka, Nida v'shchein Husel, all we have is some sort of circumstantial indication that she's a Nida, how much more so she should be believed with an amasla, if she has a tokef of an amasla, there's a power and a reliability of an amasla, the case where she explicitly gave us the testimony that she's Tmeya. And again, Rav Osa, that's why I gave you the introduction from Nida Daf Yud Beis, where the Bryce says explicitly that she's believed to say Tmeyani, and she's believed to say Tahorani. And now, how could she say Tmeyani and then be believed to say Torani? She has to be believed with an Amasla, but the Rav Paskin said we can rely on our Amasla, and how much more so when there's just an inkling on our part that she's an Nida because she's running around with these begadim. So he says, Shuv, is therefore Nemenes Shuv Lomar Tahora Ani Al Yedei Amasa, she should be believed when she gives an Amasa. So the one who now comes forward to defend the first Shita, that's the Ramban / Rashba / Ran, against the argument of the Tur, is the Beit Yosef, right? Rav Yosef Karo. First he presents this machlokas between the Ramban and the Tur in the first paragraph. And then he says, Umasha Kosov Rabbeinu, you know, the Beis Yosef is a super commentary on what? On the tour, right? That you know. And that comes before his Shulchan Aruch. And a lot of, you know, the real scholarly way of understanding the Shulchan Aruch is to go through the Beis Yosef. Because all the Svaris are, you know, he back and forth, you'll see the Beis Yosef, where he's being mafalpil in the tour. And then you open up the Shulchan Aruch after you go through the Beis Yosef. It's geschmack. It's a pleasure. You know, it's, you know where he's coming from. Where's the man coming from? Umasha Kosov Rabbeinu. Who's Rabbeinu in the Beis Yosef? The Tur, right? What the Tur says. V'teimahu v'chi adif huchzaka nida v'shchenu seha mikshel meres beferish tmeani, says the Beis Yosef, k'ar hirgish harashba b'toras habayis b'kushizu. You didn't discover America, my friend, the Tur. The Rashba himself, when he presented his conclusion to Shita, he asked this question, Vitirates, and the Rashba offers an answer. Dimishum boshes o ones mikri vi omar tmeani. Mikri means it happens, you know, it occurs. I wouldn't say it's common, but it's not uncommon. Treftzuk, yeah, it happens, right? So she was embarrassed to say that she's too weak or she has a headache and she can't have relations with her husband, so she covers it up. How's she covered up? And she says, Tmeani. That's always a good answer. Tmeani, right? So that's called boshes. Or perhaps ones, meaning that she didn't expect to have a nidus at that time, but lo and behold, she saw. And that's ones. That's called mikri v'amre, she could say Tmeani. Avolasos maisa. So Rav Osa, I would underline, I already did, but with a second underline, the word amra. So the Gemara on Daf Chav Beis is a case where she's believed with us, the word amra. She only made a statement. However, we have a phrase, actions speak louder than words. Avolasos maisa kulihai. Lilbosh big day nida. Okay, so she wanted to cover it up that she's not feeling well or whatever onus happened, and she therefore doesn't want to have relations with her husband, so she covers it up by saying Tmeani. But why would she feel compelled to go a step further and make this demonstrative action, you know, public declaration to wear big day nidus? That she didn't have to do, says the Rashba. Ulefichach kol shechazra v'yomer lo nitmesi harehi kimak cheshes masha amra v'ena ne'emenes. Says the Rashba, you could justify a masla in the case of an amira, but you can't justify a masla when it's not justifiable. Why isn't it justifiable? Because why was she compelled to go that step further and wear big day nitus? So basically, yeah, go ahead, Rabbi.
She didn't have any clean clothes.
What? She didn't have any clean clothes. Okay, maybe if she said that a masla, maybe she believed. Because what we're going to try to do now is, Rabosa, I'm going to take this Rashba quoted by Beis Yosef, we're going to see, if you're telling me there was no justification for wearing big day nidus, let's come up with cases where there is a justification where she, in other words, the main point here, Rabosa, that I have from the Beis Yosef is that, as we say in Hebrew, ikronit, you know, in principle, there is a basla, even in the case of huchzakot nidah of shechenusel. There's no gzeres akosif here in the Rashba, or the Rabban and the Ran, that huchzakot nidah of shechenusel completely neutralizes mafkia, any possibility of a basla. Just the only thing is that there's no reason to believe the Amasla. The Amasla here is too weak. You're going to have to have a whole hierarchy, write a whole sefer called Hilchas Amasla. You know, you can have which Amasla convinces us, which Amasla is a little bit less convincing, and that's the approach of the Beis Yosef. What we're going to try to prove is that there's a much more fundamental approach, and that's going to be the approach that there's no Amasla in Huchzakot Nidah B'Shechenusel, period. It doesn't matter whether you're convinced or you're not convinced. Once this huchzakot nidah b'shechenusel, the halacha changes, and her reliability or her credibility to give an amasla is completely undermined, completely neutralized. But we have a while to get to that. First, what we want to do is study the Bach. Okay.
One's before Hestia.
Yeah, please.
One is.
Ooh, excellent. Chiddush. That's going to be the Chiddush of the Taz. So, do you want to skip to the Taz for a minute? The Taz should be on your page 2, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, just a little historical background. About 5 centuries ago, in the city of Prague, there was a very famous Jew. I'll give you a hint. He created a golem, supposedly, right? At least the Czechs believe that he created a golem. So if the Jews have any doubts, then they should rely on the Czechs. And his name was the Maharal Miprag. Now, I actually give a class here. I'll just give a plug for my Tuesday night class in the Maharal Miprag. And you walk out of that class thinking that the Maharal Miprag was a philosopher, which he certainly was, and Ad Kahn. Period. You know, you would, if you were writing the epithet, you know, writing a hesped for the Maharal, he was one of the great philosophers that lived almost 5 centuries ago. Who would believe that the Maharal Miprag becomes, at least here in this Simon, we're in Simon Kuf Pei Hei in Hilchas Nida, becomes the most critical posek on a very important halachic issue. So first the Taz quotes the Rashba. That the Rashba says in Huchzakot Nidah B'Shechenusel we cannot believe her, because why would she have gone that extra step? And she just could have said Tmeah. You know, if she goes the extra step, you know, we're compelled to assume that she was really Tmeah, and we don't believe her when she says, "Oh, I was weak, I was this, I was that." And that's what he says. Tirutz Rashba on the second line. The Mishum Boshes O Ones Mikri Shomeres Tmeoni Avolasos Ma'isa Kuli Hai Lil Bosh Begodim Shalnida Menes Lefichach Lo Mahani Sham Achakach Amasla. Fine.
Why is that?
In other words, this Amasla is a flimsy Amasla.
But why? Because she can tie it in.
Because what?
Wouldn't you believe me when I said Tmeah? I mean, if I didn't.
Okay, whatever. I'm not getting into that right now. But you know, if she would have said Tmeani, she's believed. That's the halacha. And her husband would have to back off. So why did she have to wear publicly big day nidus? That's the Rashba.
Well, we see hooks at that. They mean a real chazak.
I don't know. That's going to be a very fascinating question here, Alan. What is the word huksaka? Huksaka seems like a word that's totally out of place. Just say, lovsha big day nidus bifnei shechenusel. What's the word huksaka? Okay, so again, I'm asking your brains to work here, but let's go slowly. I want to develop the story in a certain historical, chronological context. Says the Taz on line 4, Umatsasi Kasuv Bishem Moreno Rabbeinu Rav Leib Mi Prag, that's the Maral Mi Prag, the Shiny Huchsaka Nida Vishkenu Seho, the Lav Kuliao Mayadi Mina Masla, Vimkain Masha Somcha, Vimkain Almas Somcha, Shehzika Atzma, Neged Kuliao. In other words, what power, what halachic reliability or validity, I should say, validity does the Amasla have when the entire world, so to speak, right, the public, the Shechinim, are relying on a Chazaka, meaning that Hichzika Atzma to be a Nida, and now she's going to give an Amasla? They don't even know about the Amasla. In all likelihood, she's going to give this Amasla in a private room between her and her husband. As far as they're concerned, she's still a Nida. That's the way they understood it, because they saw her wearing big day Nidus. And therefore, Masha Einkein, Be'omeres, back on Daf Chav Beis, Omeres Labayla, Tmeani, who knew about that statement? Where was that declaration made? Only in the privacy of Beino Leveino. Is Efshar Shesomcha Atzma Sha'achach Tomer Lo Es Hamasla. Maybe when she initially made that statement, she was relying on the fact that later on she'll definitely be able to convince him with an Amasla. But in the case of Huxaka Vishchenusel, what is she thinking? She's thinking that later on she's going to give her husband an Amasla? Or what, she's going to make some public statement of an Amasla? How could she do such a thing? In other words, the Maral Mi Prag is introducing here a whole new variable into the equation. Until now we were saying, well, psychologically, the Rashba is saying, why should she have to do this? There was no need for her to be ma. Comes along the Maral Mi Prag, he says, forget about all those psychological analysis. We have another halacha, so I'll be right with you. We have another more fundamental halacha over here. Namely, that a masla, which is given privately, cannot in any way be effective for a public decision or declaration or establishment of her nidas. Once we've established publicly that she's a nida, it's already out of her realm. You know, it's out of a ballpark. And therefore, she cannot be believed with a Amas Yisrael. Yeah, I can't see you back there. Yeah, I'll move my chair a little bit to the left.
You know, what standing do the neighbors have? What difference does it make to them whether they're...
Excellent question. Excellent question. Well, what is this new halacha that her statement, once it takes on a public nature and a public element, should therefore nip or destroy, you know, undermine the possibility of an Amas? Now, before we go on in this Taz, I want to go a little bit earlier than Taz. I mean, this is very similar to what you were saying before, Joel, but let's go back one half a generation. Who is the Taz's Shver? The Bach. So let's go back to the Bach, okay? Because we always like to give respect to the Shver, right? Hopefully. Okay. My Shver is a great guy, so I always can I know he's 93. He's still living on the Lower East Side where everyone else is packing out, but my Shver and Shviga are still staying on the Lower East Side and not moving, you know. So he says the following. First he quotes the Tur. Again, the Bach is again a super commentary on the Tur, a little bit later than the Beis Yosef, maybe a century later. And Vitema. The Tur says, I don't understand why she can't give an Amasla in the case of Huxaka Shchena Vishchenus, Huxaka Nida Vishchenus Seha, Vachiyodif, etc., etc. Says the Bach, Iko Litmo al Tmi Loso. Just as he has a Tmi, I have a Tmi on his Tmi. The Vadai Odif, the Kaver, the Lovsha, Big Day Nida Seha, Vadai Rasa, the Ilo Rasa, Elikidei Shalo Yatrida. If the way the Bach is saying that she should be believed with an Amasla, even in the case against the Ramban, even in the case of Huxaka Nida Vishchenu Seha. And what does she say? Well, I didn't want to have to expose myself to this relationship. Halo b'shetomer elov tmeani. All she had to do to accomplish this goal was to tell her husband tmeani v'yifrosh mimena. When she'll get healthy, she'll take some antibiotics. Now she's feeling better a day or two later. Is Titena Masalud Varea? But for lo hayelo lilbosh big day nidusa, to accomplish her goal, there was nothing compelling her to wear big day nidus. Umisha lovsha, umita lovsha, havi kiinu, we're on page 2, ra'inu sherasa, began betorsa baisa or kosa lutaritzke yotzim azeh. And then he quotes the Rashba, which we saw already quoted in the Beis Yosef. V'hodit, oh, now Rabosai, we have something fascinating. In Simon Aleph, in Yoredeya, we have the following situation. A tabach who shechts an animal is believed to say that a shechita is a shechita kshera, and validates the shechita, and everyone can eat from that shechita. Okay. Now, if he goes ahead and he says that I messed up, you know, or the animal is a treifa, whatever it is, I checked the internal organs, then he's believed, Eirechadem Bisur, to say that the meat is not kosher. However, he can give it a masla. Now, what's the case of a masla in Simon Aleph? The case is the following. The Tavach took this animal after Shechita, the meat of the animal, and he put a little sign on it. A sign on it. He attached a little flag onto this. And he wrote on it Tmeah, or Trefa. And now he gives an amasla. What's his amasla? Because that night he takes the meat home, right? And he makes a barbecue, and he hires a chef, and they cut up the meat. And lo and behold, he and his family having a blast eating this meat. Wait a second. You yourself told us it was a trefa. You yourself went ahead and put a sign on it that it's a trefa. So the Tavach says, you know why I did that? I saw that the meat was so good, you know, amongst all the lambs. I wanted to make sure that no one would buy this piece of meat. They would all say, Arimosius Yadi, like Rob says, too, we had 2 days ago. And no one's going to buy the meat. I'm going to get it cheap, because everyone thinks it's treifa, wants to buy a treifa, right? They're not feeding their dogs this expensive meat. And I'm going to buy it cheap and serve it to my family. And guess what? The Gemara says he's believed. That his amasla is accepted. So the Bach says, what's going on over here? You just finished telling me that this is the way the Beis Yosef interpreted the Ramban, the Rashba, that if she says Tmeani and it was only an Amira, she's believing in a Masla. But if she went one step further and she did a Maisa, then she's not believed in a Masla. Here, this case of the Tabach, let's read it inside, Sha'asa Siman Barash HaKeves, this is 4 lines down at the top of page 2, She'yu Svurim Shetrefehi, V'yomer, now he turns around and says K'sherahi, V'lo Asa Siman, why did he put that flag there on the meat? Kedesh lo yikhua, nobody should buy it, v'tishar lo, didn't everyone be a maslazu? And that's, you know, that's one of the most important paragraphs in Simon Aleph Yoredei, the first Simon, anyone who's studying for the Rabbanus, he knows about this halacha. Says the Bach, Hasam lo hoya efsha lo be'inyan acher. Again, the Bach is going back into the mental, how shall I say, framework of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef already brought us into a certain atmosphere. What's that atmosphere? Hilchas Amasla, I call it. Is the Amasla convincing? Is it not convincing? Yeah. She said Tmeani. She wanted to get him off the back. She's believed to say Tahorani with an Amasla. But if she went ahead and she wore big day needles, why did she do that? If she wanted to get him off her back, she could have just told him, whispered into his ear, Tmeani. So the Beis Yosef is giving us, based on the Rashbin Torah Sabayis, Hilchas Amasla. Are we convinced or are we not convinced? So we have to set up a whole jury here. You know, there's going to be an advocate for the Amasla, there'll be the Kategor against the Amasla. We'll have a lot of fun here with Hilchas Amasla. Says the Bach, within the context of Hilchas HaMasla, I can certainly justify why did this Tabach put a what? a simon on Rosh HaKevet to say that it's fair because he efshar binyan acher. In the case of Huxikosh Nida Vashkein, who said the Beis Yosef is right and that's based on the Rashba, that she didn't have, there was no compelling reason for her to go further with this maisa of wearing big name Nida. She could have accomplished the same goal without that. What justifies her maisa here that was unjust? But in the case where he efshar binyan acher, there says the Bach, we're going to rely on Amas. So when the Taba comes and tells us that I had no other opportunity to achieve my goal, no other means to an end, and that is to make sure that everyone stays away, therefore I had to put the Simon on the Rosh HaKeves before somebody grabs this Keves, then he's believed. Yisrael?
Well, my problem with Big Day Nidus is what's the reason for wearing Big Day Nidus in the first place?
Big Day Nidus probably means that you know, back in the day they were Ochlei Chulin Betara. You know, it was very important that when they were working with doughs and things like that, that, you know, you had to know who is Tomei and who is Tahor. And, you know, in our day, it's a big insult, so to speak. You know, there's so much psychological sensitivity on the part of a woman, you know, nobody should know she's a Nida, you know, all this quiet kind of keep it under the thing. I don't think it was that way back in the day. Even at the time of the Ramah, it's so fascinating that the Ramah records a minog that, this is what Avi Moshel once showed me, this Ramah. It's not, the Ramah doesn't quote it, but it's quoted in a story that the minig was that after she went to mikvah, they had a whole public celebration. I mean, again, it's a whole different mentality than we have today. If you ask me, why is it necessary to publicly announce that she's a Nida, that has to do with, again, something that's so foreign to our mentality, to make sure she doesn't come in contact with Taros. And they were very, very careful about that.
As Marzah, the Ethiopians, before they came here, had separate huts.
Yeah, maybe it was for this reason. Maybe they were Ochlei Chulin Betara. I don't know enough about the Ethiopians, but that would be a lumdisha way of explaining why everybody had to know that she was quarantined during her Nida period. I mean, isn't that a great insult? But you know what? Even if a person is a Tomei Mess, it was public knowledge that he was a Tomei Mess. Just, you'll ask me, okay, that doesn't embarrass anybody, but the Nida would embarrass someone, but that's our sociology. You know, in that time, it wasn't so embarrassing. But again, if she just wants to get her husband off her back, again, I'm assuming that the premise of the Beis Yosef is correct. She didn't have to wear, she could have accomplished that goal without big dignities. Now, Rabosai, we want to get to a juicy part of the story, and that is the case of a woman who gives it a masla on the very fact that she was Yotzeis Big Day Nidus B'Shechenu Seh. Right? That's what I'm leading up to right now. Again, as I said before, but before it was theoretical, now it's going to be a practical decision. Lu Yitzuyer, if I find you a Metzius, where the only way she could accomplish her goal is by Big Day Levishas Big Day Nidus B'Shechenu Seh, then according to everything we've seen, minus the Maral Miprag, again, because we jumped the gun with the Maral Miprag, everybody would agree per echad that now she would be believed, because there's no fundamental reason why she shouldn't be believed with an amasla against the huchzika nida v'shchenu seha. We're not emphasizing the word huchzika here, as the Maral is going to emphasize, but rather that, you know, why did you have to do this? Oh, so what's the case? So if you're looking in the Taz, okay, which is on page 4. I'm sorry, on page 2, I meant to say. So the Taz says the following. I'm just find the place here. Oh. Now, again, this is a very long Taz, so see if you can follow with me, counting down from the top, I would say approximately 10, 12 lines. The first word of the line is Ibura. I put a little arrow there. I don't know if it came out.
Yes, it did.
You do it? Okay. Vinishal l'Ramah. Okay. Now, you know that the Ramah, in addition to writing a super commentary on the Torah, which is called the Darkei Moshe, and of course the Mappa, you know, the Mappa, which was called his Hagos on the Shulchan Aruch, you know, he wanted to write it before the Shulchan Aruch, but the Shulchan Aruch beat him out. So once it was the Shulchan Aruch, he wrote a Mappa, you know, a tablecloth. That's the Hagos Ramah. But in addition to that, a less well-known work of the Ramah is the Tshuvas Ramah. But it seems that back in the day, they knew the Tshuvas Ramah like inside out. It was like a major, major source. So what was the question that was asked to the Ramah?
It's to start with Maisa B'Isha.
Maisa B'Isha. So you have to go back two lines earlier. And then we'll see how the Ramah answered this question. But first, the Taz wants to present the facts of the case. The facts on the ground, as we say. Maisa B'Isha Acha. So the first word in the line is L'chud. So again, it's about 10 lines down from the top of the Taz. Nebuch. Sheyolda Sholosh Pa'am B'Chodesh Hashmini. She had three miscarriages. You know, today we have technology. A woman can give birth in the eighth month, and you know, again, it's a challenge. But in most cases, I don't know, I'm not a physician. You'll have to ask if I'm right. But today, in our contemporary times, a woman gives birth to a baby, a preemie, in the eighth month, and everyone survives it. You know, they put the preemie in the pagia. I don't know how you say that in English.
Incubator,
and everything will be fine. But in those days, it was extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous. This is 5 centuries ago. Oh, so she was afraid that why is this happening to her over and over and over again? And again, you would say that maybe her obstetrician, her gynecologist, should give her a scientific answer. She thought it was because of an ayin hara, a whammy. Now again, this is not the place. I once gave a whole shiur here on ayin hara. And ayin hara, believe it or not, is a lot. And I'm a pretty modern guy. I mean, I have an undergraduate degree, a graduate degree in philosophy, but don't make fun of ayin hara. I mean, again, I'm not, you know, there is something to it. Again, what it is exactly, I have 5 different interpretations. Ayin, YU, Torah, 3-4 years ago. But be that as it may, she was afraid of this whammy, I call it, this ayin hara. So what she wanted to do, listen carefully, she wanted to be pregnant without anyone knowing about her pregnancy. She goes over to her husband, right? Again, they lived in a smaller radius. You know, it wasn't like, so she wanted to make sure who's giving her an eye in her. It might be her very sister or sister-in-law, or it may be some of the club, because she keeps getting pregnant and they're jealous of her, whatever it might be. So she does a collusion with her husband. You know, she gets her husband involved, and his kimbala. And he's on board. Shetomar tmea ani. She's at the beginning. As soon as she gets pregnant, she's going to let everyone know that she's a nida, which she's not, right? Betchilas ibura kedei lahastir ibura. Now, what's the difference between this amatzla and the amatzla that we've been dealing with until now, where get off my back because I'm not feeling well? Here, the only way she'd accomplish her goal of undermining the ayin hara is if she goes public. Vinishal Ramah in Baila Mutulovale Besaser. And I'll have you know that the Maharal probably will be very upset about this, but the Ramah says, Veheshiv Leheter. He says it's Mutter. And here's a case where a Masla is effective even though she was Huxaka Nida Vishkenu Sev. Veherich Baze Be'inyan is seen as a Masla, but Huxaka Nida Vishkenu Sev. And the Taz is a little bit upset why the Ramah needed a whole pilpul and he spent the whole tshuva. In the Taz's mindset, it's simple. You know, the Ramah didn't have to write, write the magnum opus on this question. And he goes on and on and on, and he says, Kemen Shegila Daita B'Tchila. She already revealed this up front before she made the statement. Her husband was on board. He certainly was in cahoots with her and agreed that she could make this public statement that she's a nida in order to cover up for the fact that she's pregnant. And if you take a look where I underlined it towards the bottom, V'tama ni al Ramah, Sham v'tshuva shalom nichlas l'dover zeh. Well, why do you have to get into this whole business with the whole pilpul and so forth and so on? And therefore, even in the case of Huxakon Nidav Shchenu Seah, if she gives an Amasla Tova and it convinces us why she had to go public, we can accept her Amasla. So Rav Ossai, just to summarize what we have here, is number one, a machlokes between, shall we say, the Ramban Visayoso versus the Tur. The Tur thinks that if she's believed in a maslan daf chav beis, when she said explicitly tmeani, how much more so she should be believed on daf ayin beis vavuksa karnida v'shchenusel, where she didn't even make that statement tmeani. All the later commentaries try to tell the Tur, slicha doni, you know, your tema is a tema, because why did she have to wear big day nidus? It's not a convincing. In the case on Simon Aleph of a taba who puts a Simon Trefa on Rosh HaKeves there, even though he did a Maisa, that was justified, because otherwise how's he going to get everyone away from buying this piece of good meat, you know, which is not a Trefa. And now what we're saying is that even in the case of Huchsakar Nidav Shchenusel, we may have a possibility of upgrading an Amasla to the level of she's believed. She was justified. She had to go that step further in order to achieve her objective. She wants to avoid the Ayin Hara, and therefore she has to go public. However, Lu'umat Zot, on the other end, and this is what we want to pick up, Lineder, on Yom Revi'i, we have the Maralbi Prague. The Maralbi Prague seems to be assuming that for some reason the big name Nidus v'Shchenusel creates some sort of a chazaka. We don't know what that word chazaka means in this context, which in any event makes it impossible for her to be believed with an amasla. And it doesn't matter one iota, says the Maralbi Prague, whether or not you're convinced by her amasla and she was justified. Once you've got that huchsaka nida v'Shchenusel, amasla is out, because the amasla is always private, and the huchsaka nida v'Shchenusel is always public. V'tzarech iyun god. What we're going to try to understand, and don't think I have the answers to this question. I'm just stalling until Yom Revi'i, right? Gives me a little bit more time. We're going to try to come up with an answer as to why the Maralbi Prague thinks that there are two different kinds of declarations of nidus. There's the case of tmeani, you know, the classical privacy between him and her, and the case of going public. And for some reason, that creates a whole new category. Her declaration takes on new dimensions, and the nafkamina is going to be that she's not believed with an amasla. Add to that, the proof in the pudding is that in the very same sugya, on daf ayin basic subis of huchsaka nida v'shchenusel, the Gemara goes on record as saying that if her husband has relations with her, he's chayav malchus. How can he be chayav malchus? Tomorrow she's going to give an amasla. It's asra safek. So when we put the picture all together, we're beginning to see that there is a possibility here, maybe even a strong probability, that huchsaka nida v'shchenusel is not just, as the Rashba says, Hilchas Hamasla, well, we convinced, justified, blah, blah, blah. Leave all the psychology behind. There's some sort of halachic principle that operates here and makes it impossible for her to be believed with an Hamasla. Now, what I have for you to prepare for Yom Revi'i, because I don't always see you guys. You know, I'd love to see you guys a little bit earlier before the Shia, and I've said that a million times over, because I think then in Chavrusa you'd get a lot more out of the Shia. But if there's anyone here who would like to prepare for Yom Chamishi, I have a page here, Yom Revi'i, I have a page here from the Nesivis. You know, the Nesivis wrote an amazing, amazing work of Chidushim on Yoredea, which is called the Chavas Das. It's just one page, so I made four copies, but we'll make a few more copies. And again, you know, if you could plow through this Nesivis, this Chavas Das, you'll get a jump start for the shiur on Yom Revi'i. The one who
learn about coffee.
Yeah, the one at coffee. And what does that do with coffee? I missed that one. Oh, coffee. Okay, good. Now, if you'll ask me who accepts or let's say it the other way, who rejects the Chavastas, that's going to be the Ktzos. The Ktzos and the Sivas were always at each other's throats, and the Ktzos wrote a work called the Shev Shmaita. In my humble opinion, it's the most profound work that's been written in the last three centuries. And he was a very old man when he wrote that book. How old was he? 17 years old. It's just mind-boggling. I read that book and I get chalish sadas. Because, you know, I consider myself someone who's been around the block a little bit, and yet I'm looking at this little tzitzik of 17-year-olds and I'm breaking my head trying to understand this profound insight. They're brilliant, one after the other. So he's going to be the critique, the Baal HaBikoret against the Nesivus, but I think if we give the Nesivus the time of day that he deserves in the Chavos Das, it's an amazing, amazing piece.
The okay. Old Shadow and Tosuk here is V'yisim Nikiyem Hashem HaMitzrayim. Shechein Osel is important because Hashem HaMitzrayim, this is a principle that you can't let community think that you're the right.
Some people actually learn the Maral the way you learn the Maral. It's all a question of Marasayan. And that's going to enter into the whole issue of whether Marasayan applies for Chadri Chador or not. The Gemara in Beitzis has called the Asa Mishu Marasayan a filu for Chadri Chador, so you can't have relations with her because of the Marasayan. But there's going to be a whole other approach to Maral Miprag based on the Nesivus. Okay then? But your approach is definitely a common approach to the Maral Miprag.
The gentleman I asked to learn with.